first reading is from Judges. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the troops that were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was north of them, below the hill of Moreh, in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The troops with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Israel would only take the credit away from me, saying, 'My own hand has delivered me.' Now, therefore, proclaim this in the hearing of the troops. Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home." Thus Gideon sifted them out. 22,000 returned, and 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "The troops are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them out for you there. When I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go with you. And when I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So he brought the troops down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "All those who lap the water with their tongues, as a dog laps, you shall put to one side. All those who kneel down to drink, putting their hands to their mouths, you shall put to the other side." The number of those that lapped was 300, but all the rest of the troops knelt down to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 that lapped, I will deliver you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the others go to their homes." So he took the jars of the troops from their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel back to their own tents, but retained the 300. The camp of Midian was below him in the valley. The word of the Lord.
Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Gideon was one of Israel's early judges. And the judges were these charismatic, spirit-filled leaders that God would raise up when Israel was in danger. And in our reading today, Gideon is about to lead 300 troops to victory. Now, the bit that's missing is that he's leading them to victory against over 100,000 Midianite soldiers. 300 versus 100,000. Now, doesn't that sound like the kind of victory that we would love to experience in our lives? Overcoming amazing odds to achieve something truly incredible? To find a God-given dream coming true? I mean, isn't that the kind of stuff that we'd love to have? Well, here's what I want us to wrestle with today. I think that most, if not all of us, don't experience anywhere near the kind of victories that God wants to give us. And I suspect that for most of us, life is a lot more like an uphill slog than a downhill charge with 300 soldiers following us into battle. And the reason why it's more like this slog, I think, is that we are too strong. We are too strong. We're too on top of things. We've got it too together. Or so we tell ourselves. We build up our armies. Not with soldiers, but we make ourselves strong with our dollars, with our moral superiority, with good reputations, with hard work. Now, none of those things are bad in and of themselves. In fact, they're good. But they become spiritually deadly when we start to entrust our lives to them instead of to God. When we start treating all these things that we accomplish as if they are the source of meaning and life and peace and security. So what I want you to think about today is, What are your armies? What are you building up to have at your back to make you feel strong? Now compare that to Gideon. He's getting ready to go into battle, and what does the Lord tell him? Hey, Gideon, hold up. Nope. You have too many soldiers. Why? Because if Israel wins when they're outnumbered only 3 or 4 to 1, only 3 or 4 to 1, they may still take the credit themselves. They won't realize that God is the only one that they can depend on. So the Lord cuts the army down twice, and from 32,000, he's left with 300. And that second cut that is made is completely arbitrary, and it's really kind of strange. But the point there is Gideon will not be able to say, well, after all, we had our 300 bravest, most experienced, most elite soldiers. Nah. Just 300 guys who drink water like dogs. Against maybe 120,000 enemies. Now, can you imagine how Gideon must have felt at this? Like, come on, God. Don't you want us to win? Well, yes, the Lord did want them to win. But even more than that, the Lord wanted them to have faith. To believe that they didn't need to sweat over their own victories. That they shouldn't trust that their army is the source of their security. Because God alone is their salvation. Now again, I'll ask, is that our kind of faith? Or do we have the kind of faith that feels strong when we've got a big, strong army of good deeds, of answers to all our questions, to financial comfort and human power? What's your strength? What's your source of comfort? Now, if we're finding Jesus on the B-sides, then in this story, Jesus is the fulfillment of Israel. And that means he's the one who came to do battle with evil, not in a blaze of glory and might to blast sinners out of existence with heavenly armies. No. His power was sifted. He came humbly, born as a baby, in human form, to suffer and to die. His unlimited divine power was sifted at the cross, where by dying and rising again for you, he became more than enough for you. He is your goodness. He is your strength and your peace and your joy. And now this Jesus is telling you to send your soldiers home. To let your sources of strength shrink. Jesus is saying to you, stop relying on everything that you do and that you provide, and start relying on me. See, the issue here is how we can retrain our souls in the way of the gospel, to believe and to act like Jesus really is all we need. That our security and our goodness and our strength, all of it, come from God. It doesn't have to come from us. So what I want to share with you now are some ingredients for a Gideonized life. And there's a bunch of them here. So, you know, you got that sermon notes page. You might want to get that ready. Because these aren't things that you should do. I want to be clear. These aren't things you need to do to make yourself holier. No. These aren't ways that we can make God love us more or anything at all like that. No. These ideas are responses to the fact that God already loves you more than you could ever know. They are ways of leaning into God's grace, putting ourselves into a position to rely more fully on Jesus and less on ourselves. Now, we've already done the first way that Jesus tells us to send the troops home, and that's through confession. Every Sunday, we do this as a community, and knowing quite a few of you, I hope we all do it more than just on Sunday mornings. We admit to God, we admit to each other, and I'll admit to you, we don't have it all together. I don't have it all together. Morally and spiritually, none of us is on top of everything. If we're going to be good, we need His forgiveness. And so all those ideas that we have to make ourselves good enough, send those troops home. Then, I want you to approach prayer in a Gideon-like spirit by actually asking God for help. Actually admitting to the Lord, Lord, I don't have all the answers here. I don't know what to do. I can't fix all of life's problems. We don't have to rely on ourselves. We can trust in God. Then there's the discipline that is sometimes called fasting. Now, this can mean abstaining from food or a specific kind of food, and we usually associate this with Lent, but let me expand it a bit. This discipline can also mean saying no to all sorts of things in our lives that aren't necessary. You might say, you know what? I'm not going to buy any new clothes for the coming season. I'm going to turn the TV off for an entire month. This fasting might mean getting away from Facebook for a while. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor, hold on. Now things are getting serious. Whoa. Now, none of those things are bad. But we as people are so used to getting whatever we want that it's easy for us to forget that Jesus is what we really need. So this discipline is a way of changing our focus from stuff to what really matters, our need for God's grace. And now I'm going to bring things a little bit closer to home here. You thought messing with Facebook was bad. Hold on. Remember I mentioned the financial strength as one of our armies? Now, I want you to know, I'm bringing this up at a time when church finances are actually pretty good. But the illusion of having financial security, that feeling that we're okay based on what's in our checking account, is one of the main reasons why Jesus calls all of his followers, all of us, to sacrificial giving of our treasures. Not to pay the church's bills, but because when we give to the point that we start to feel the sacrifice, that's the moment when we're actually going out on faith that, you know, God really will provide more than enough. Giving is never a way of buying God's favor. No. Giving is a way of clearing the eyes of our soul to see how God already has more favor and more blessing for us than we could ever ask for. We just don't see it because we've settled for the false sense of security that we get from dollars and cents. Now, maybe you're sitting there saying, hey, that's not me. That's not my issue at all. Okay. Try it for 2 months. And see if that sacrificial giving doesn't change the way you experience God's grace. All of these things are just concrete ways that we can train our hearts to believe that we don't need to try to make our own security or peace or joy. Because the truth is, not only will our own efforts always fall short, but more than that, Jesus is already offering you more than you could ever dare to dream of. He's already there with his strong arms outstretched. We are just so used to holding back and standing on our own 2 feet that we don't have the habit of stepping out into his hands. But see, that's what faith is. So this week, what I want you to do is I want you to prayerfully ask yourself this. What are my armies? What is it that I think I need for a good, meaningful life? And then ask Jesus if he doesn't want to send some of those troops back home. Because truly, you will be amazed at the victories that he can win for you when you stop trusting what you can do and start believing that Jesus has already done all you need for life, for peace, and for joy. So send the soldiers home and live by faith. Amen.